big thought for today. Is that all right?
Yes. Start with one big thought. The big thought is this: your future reality, is being shaped right now based on your present attitude and your present actions. Okay, I'm going to say it again. Your future, you, is being shaped right now by your present attitude and your present actions. And nothing is better than your Siri watch talking to you in the moment that you say something like that. So we're gonna kind of cover one basic text of scripture today. I wanna stay in one spot, one context today for our entire conversation. So I'm gonna go ahead and start by reading that, and then we'll get into the rest of the message. Sound good?
Yes.
Awesome. So today we're gonna be talking specifically about this idea of Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. Verse 4 starts out, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I will say it again.
Rejoice.
Rejoice. "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends or which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true. I love this verse. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, this is the Apostle Paul writing here, or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Your future reality is being shaped right now by your present attitude and your present actions. What you sow, you will also
reap.
Right? What goes around
comes around.
Exactly. It's a law of physics, right? For every action, there is an equal and opposite
reaction.
Your future is being shaped right now by your present attitude and your present actions. Let's pray together. Jesus. Son of God. We just worship you today. We thank you that we were able to extol you in our worship time and to say, holy, holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty, Lord. And we're so grateful for the gift of life, but that we're grateful that it didn't end at our salvation, but it continues by the power of your Holy Spirit through our ultimate sanctification. We embrace who we are as new creation, as kingdom citizens today, and we say, power of grace, come and help us live anew. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So it's gonna be a slightly different style than what my brother does. Is that all right?
Yes.
I might tell a couple of jokes because I actually am funnier. That might happen, but I can't promise it. I really want to dig into this text because we're continuing in our series, I Want to Quit. And today we're specifically talking about this idea, I want to quit negativity. How many of you would like to quit some negativity? How many of you want to quit thinking bad, quit feeling bad, quit acting bad? How many of you want to quit feeling dragged down? Right? How many of you want to quit being affected and affected by the world around us?
Amen.
Woo, we got a negative, negative culture. But we are not of this world, right?
Yes.
The word says that when you come into Christ, you are a
new creation.
New creation. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God. And so we're talking about this idea. We've been using this motif here of what you're aiming at. We're going to continue to chat about that. Over the past couple of weeks, we've talked about anger, right? We've talked about unforgiveness. We're going to continue in a very positive way, and we're going to talk about negativity. So if you're here, I'm going to be asking you questions. If you are joining us online in our online community, I'm excited that you're here. I do want to tell you right up front, everybody, in case you don't know who I am, by the way, I'm Pastor David's brother, Dallas, yada, yada. You all know who I am. But I want to tell you there is a lot more slides and a lot more presentation than I would normally do. So there's gonna be some reading. I apologize now. But there's some visual stuff that I think we can only get across if we show it visually. But if you're here in our online community, we'll be asking questions as well. Just drop your answers in the chat. But here we're going to ask you just a bunch of yes questions, all right? So real fast, what I want you to do is I want you to look at somebody beside you. And if you're online, drop it in the chat. Can I move this back two steps so I can hashtag a little more freedom? All right. So if you're online, do this as well, but I want you to turn to somebody that's beside you, and I want you to really quickly, in about 10 to 12 seconds, give them a quick, positive, big win for you in your personal life this week, or your professional life or relationship. Just look at somebody and say, hey, here's a win I had this week. Go. Some of you aren't talking. All right, if you haven't switched yet, switch. All right, here's the idea behind that, everybody. Oh, I saw some high fives happening. Here's the idea behind that. Too often when somebody says, how you doing? We answer with, at best, fine. Right? When someone gives you an actual answer, when you say, hey, how are you? And you see them take that stance of, well. And you go, oh, no. Just say fine. And move along, partner. Because most of the time, what people want to share with us is what went wrong. Well, I'm struggling with this. I'm doing this. And then we throw the little swath of paint on it that makes us sound like a Christian. Well, this is bad and this is bad. And my, you know, it sounds like the lyrics of an old country song. Lost my dog, lost my farm, lost my house. This is bad. But thank God. Doesn't sound like you're thanking God. But what we're going to learn inside of Philippians 4 today is we're actually going to learn a formula for positive thinking, okay? We're going to learn this formula, and it goes to this promise. The promise, not when we're focused on the negative, the promise is peace. Now, it says it twice in this five verses. It says it twice. In verse 7, it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Like everything that could be wrong, is going wrong, should be going wrong. Like you are the embodiment of Murphy's Law, right? The house of cards is collapsing on you. But when we learn this formula we're gonna talk in today, we're gonna know that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, it's gonna guard your heart and it's gonna guard your mind in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 9, it also says, and the peace of God will be with you. So look at those again. Verse 7, we've got, and the peace of God. Everybody say, peace of God.
Peace of God.
And verse 9, it's going to say, and the peace of God.
And the peace of God.
Two promises within two verses. You think he wants us to live in peace?
Yes.
What is peace? Ooh. What is peace? What's the idea that the enemies have been quelled? There is this phrase, and I would botch the Latin if I said it, but it's, if you want peace, prepare for war. Si vis pacem, para bellum. All right? I'm not Italian, and that ain't Latin. But there is this idea that sometimes you have to fight for peace. And sometimes the greatest battle for peace is in here. It's in here in your mind, and it's here in your heart. Because we give way to all the negativity. So we're gonna talk about a negativity cycle here for just a couple of minutes, okay? I call it the O negative cycle because it is the universal donor to all of us, okay? There are three parts to the O negative cycle. Number one, the outlook. You're gonna figure out why it's O here in a second. Number two, the way we operate. And number three, outcomes. Everybody say outlook.
Outlook.
Operate.
Operate.
Outcomes.
Outcomes.
O negative. I got it. That was awesome. So why this is a cycle, I don't know who did that. Fantastic. Oh, my. So the reason it's a negativity cycle is your outlook will determine the way you operate. The way you operate will determine your outcomes. But here's the problem. That outcome will determine your future outlook. Because when you get a bad outcome, it's going to ever so slightly bring your thinking down a little lower. And then you're going to be a little jaded. then you're going to be a little protected. Then you're going to be a little guarded. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I love the way former President George W. Bush said that one time. He goes, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice. Well, you ain't going to fool me twice. Like, there's a Texas boy for you. I don't know why, of all the quotes of all the presidents, 470 years ago stands out, and that one from George W. Bush stands out. But it just creates this cycle of madness inside of us. It creates this, oh, now the outlook determines the way I operate, because now I'm going to think that I need to be guarded, so I'm going to operate guarded, so I'm going to get guarded outcomes that are diminished from the potentiality. So then when I get a diminished outcome, I will begin to think diminished and begin to think the worst of people. How many have entered an election cycle and thought, well, it's the best of two bad choices? Because maybe we're in this kind of thinking, right? So the rest of our time together, we're going to talk about how to break through that. And we're going to do it from what I like to call the Philippians 4 focus formula. Everybody say that out loud. Philippians 4 focus formula. Now, I made that alliteration so that it's easier to remember, because from here on out, I don't ever want you to forget it. All right? The next time you find yourself going through Philippians 2, you're like, ah, shine like stars. That's pretty good stuff. You're going to get in Philippians 3. You make it to Philippians 4. I want you to think, Philippians 4 focus formula. Am I focused on the right thing? Or am I continuing the cycle of negativity? And here's the thing. The cycle of negativity doesn't stop with you. It has an outward spiraling effect to every area of your life. The way that you work, the way that you live, the way that you give, the way that you love. And eventually, we call it a generational curse, because someone didn't stop and break the O negative cycle. So today, Kingdom citizens, you've got a date with destiny that says, today it stops with me. I have the opportunity with the Philippians 4 focus formula. Now, there is a thing. There is a physiological, psychological thing, and I'm not going to take too long to unpack this. There is a reason why we gravitate toward negativity. Do you all know this? It's actually a psychological term called the negativity bias. All right. It is a cognitive bias, and it's a tendency as human beings to register negative stimuli more readily than we do positive stimuli, and we hold on to the negative memory longer. Now, there is a reason for this. It's so that you don't eat the poison thing, right? Right? How many of you remember the first time you touched a hot stove? How many of you remember the first time you had a lollipop? Not as many. There's a reason. We register the negative stimuli more, and it is actually a thing that God gave us to protect us from stupid. What'd that guy just eat? Don't eat that again. He's dead now. But there is a physiological, psychological thing that occurs in humanity that God put it there as a protective mechanism, that it says, oh, wait, I have to be careful of that thing coming at me, so I have a slight negativity bias against it. It's why we all feel the way we do when we show up on a car lot and a plaid jacket starts walking our way. Right? So that thing is called the negativity bias, and it's actually used in, scientists know this, but you know who knows it more? Marketing people. Advertisers, news media. It is used in marketing to create what they call emotional persuasion, and that affects all of your decision-making processes. So there was a particular group, Applebee's, I'm just gonna throw them under the bus, they got raked for this one, okay? This came out when Ukraine was invaded by Russia. And literally during the CNN headline, they stayed with the live footage. We're gonna continue with this live coverage. And then they showed wings and burgers. It was something they tested. But how many of you have been watching something? I mean, and here's the thing, guys, why do TV shows break for commercial? Because you've been primed emotionally. It stops on a cliffhanger. What are we gonna do about that, John? Dun, dun, dun. Do you have the latest vacuum? They design TV show structure around selling emotional persuasion. They leveraged our physiological and psychological negativity bias in order to get you to do what they want you to do. And here's the thing. I know I saw the look on your face like, what? Yes. There are four pillars of emotional persuasion. Guess what they are? Sadness, anxiety, awe, and anger. Have you ever been watching, I don't know, anything and felt any of those four emotions?
All the time.
And then you're primed to literally go to prime and order the thing, right?
Yeah.
So that's called negativity bias. That is in us. That is psychological. That is physiological, and it's okay. But here's where we get it wrong. We go from negativity bias to negativity focus. We start then perpetuating the cycle of our negativity focus in our relationships. We get with our closest friends, and it's just, my end of work day ever. Today was a tough day. We start doing that, right? And we gravitate in these circles of gossip and negativity and all the things. How about this? How much negative entertainment are we choosing, right? How much negative news are we consuming? How much negative social media are we putting not just the heart emoji on, but the angry face, right? And we only have 140 characters of that person's information. We're like, I agree with you, negative, right? So maybe it's not so much, and here's the intriguing thing. When it comes to entertainment, when it comes to news, when it comes to social media, do you know what they call that? They call it your news feed. What are you feeding on? What are you consuming? What are you ingesting? What are you digesting? And the algorithm says, well, they like the negative. They clicked on that. Feed them more. Right? So maybe it's not so much a negativity bias that is our problem in the O negative cycle. Maybe it's a negative focus or a negativity outlook. All right? So that is the first part of the cycle. Outlook, operate, outcome. Outlook, operate, outcome. That's the first part of that cycle. But thank God we have the Philippians 4 focus formula. Everybody say it again. Philippians 4 focus formula. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'm going to repeat it because it bears repeating. Rejoice. There's going to be a lot of stuff, the apostle was writing. You're dealing with a lot of things. At that time, you're dealing with the encroachment of a government on your personal freedoms. Rejoice. You're dealing with people being not only isolated, but dominated and even just flat out killed for the way they believe. Rejoice. Let your love be known to all. How do we in a society rejoice amidst negativity? It's just a thought I want you to think about. I want you to consider this. Are you training your outlook for negativity? Are you habitualizing crisis? Maybe you're the person who has to do all the posting about everything going wrong, because maybe you're addicted to the attention. Just saying. I know people who set up their world for crisis. That is their norm. And if life goes down from that, they have to make a new crisis. Either consciously or subconsciously, it occurs because their outlook is determining the way they operate, and that way they operate is determining an outcome of crisis. So we have to ask ourselves, have we normalized negativity? The Apostle Paul would say to us, that's the way it is with the world. But citizens of the kingdom, that's not the way it should be with you. So rejoice. In the Lord always, I will say it again, rejoice. So let's go back real fast to the negativity cycle, just so you guys can see that again. Because we're going to move to the second part here. We've got the outlook now. We know that verse 4 of the formula figures out the outlook, which is rejoice no matter the circumstance. I will say it again.
Rejoice.
Rejoice. Now let's go to the second part. How do you operate? Now this is going to, I'm going to throw a bunch of information at you real fast. Is everybody cool with a bunch of information?
Yep. Yeah.
All right, say Dallas, I probably won't get it all. But I'll read it in the app notes later this week. Or I'm going to listen to this brilliant sermon one more time. Fantastic. Well, that one died off. Can we say your response? It was like, Dallas, yes. Dallas, maybe. Dallas, no. That's what just happened there. All right, so there are eight dimensions of our life. Do you mind if I use a little pop psychology for just a minute? We're going to get back to the scripture for the kingdom citizens. But I just want to show you real fast what pop psychology says. There are eight dimensions of wellness in our life, or eight areas of our life, okay? I'm going to read them off fast. We'll briefly talk about them. This is not anything we're going to master today. Calm down, all right? There is emotional wellness, all right? There is physical wellness. There is social wellness. There's occupational, or some call it professional wellness. There's financial wellness. There's environmental wellness. There's spiritual wellness, and there's intellectual wellness. Now, some believe there is a ninth one for creative, okay? I think creativity expresses itself in a person well-made. But these are the main emotional components of wellness. And the idea with them is the way you operate in all of them. And they're interlocked and interchanging, but sometimes we give too much focus to one. Sometimes we give all of our wellness focus, like I'm gonna create a great world of wellness in the way that I work. So I'm gonna be the best worker. I'm gonna be the guy who's super motivated. I'm gonna be this person. And our professional life is thriving, but over here our spiritual life is dying off. Or maybe you're the person who focuses all your stuff on the physical wellness, but your relational wellness is tanking, right? So each of these have their own thing, and if you need to know the difference between occupational and financial, I'll give you an idea. One's your job, one's the way you manage your finances, your debt, all of that, okay? Environmental, I want to talk about that one just briefly. Environmental wellness is the idea that your environments feel like an oasis, that they're not cluttered, that you're keeping boundaries, that you don't have stacks of undone, that you're maintaining your environment in a way that when you step into it, there's peace. How many of you feel the negativity when you walk in a room? That is an environment that has not been tended with the Philippians 4 focus formula. And as kingdom citizens, again, Christ did not just come to save us. He came to sanctify us, and he came to speak to us as how will you operate with a biblical worldview in every area? But instead, we get caught in the negativity cycle, and so we have an outlook that's like, well, my home doesn't matter because I'm busy. Or my family doesn't matter because I'm over here taking care of myself. Or I'm not going to pursue intellectual growth because I'm too busy pursuing spiritual growth. I said it. All right. So in the Philippians 4 focus formula, verse 5 gives us the key here. It says, let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. Now, what does gentleness have to do with the eight areas of wellness? Well, let me explain. English is not the way the Bible was written. It was written in Greek, the New Testament, okay? Greek and Hebrew. But in the New Testament, that word gentleness is our key word, because actually what it means is it means fairness. Another variation of let your moderation be known to all. Let your suitability be noticed by all. Let your balanced life be noticed by all. So the question we have to ask ourselves, church, is, when we look at those eight areas of wellness, where are we imbalanced? What areas, let's focus on the positive for just a second. What areas of those eight dimensions are you thriving in? What areas need your attention? What are the ones that you're like, I need to grow that one up a little bit? I know mine. I know mine. My wife lets me know mine too. So you have to ask yourself, do I have the appropriate balance of gentleness? Because by the way, it needs to be evident to all. If the people at your work say, Joe's a great guy, and the people at your home are like, you're the biggest jerk. You're not doing well. Right? If the people at your home are like, you're such a great father, you're such a this, and you're the laziest, slothful, most slothful person in your job, you're not doing well. The way that Christ commands us to do well. Whatever is at your hand to do, do it with all your might. Right? Everybody take a deep breath. So good we're past that whatever they called it in 2020 thing. Here's the deal. You're not going to get it all 100% out the gate. There are some people in this room who just got overwhelmed by what they just read. There are some people in this room who just looked at it like an action list. Got it. target. And somebody, and a few of you just got an elbow from your spouse, like, that's you, by the way. This is where grace comes in, church. So here's grace. Grace is not just the get out of jail free card. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. Too often our theology of grace is one that says, I keep screwing up, so grace, please help. Grace is actually the ability to live righteously. Grace is the empowerment. So that you are empowered by, and you can say, I'm empowered by the grace of Jesus Christ. So that when you step into an environment that there is not wellness, you can bring grace. So that when you go to your home and you're like, it's not thriving, God, give us grace for our home. Teach me to live righteously. Grace is the power to live righteously, not just the get out of jail, forgive your sins card. Everybody cool with that? So do not be overwhelmed when you see this wellness cycle. And you're like, I'm not going to do it at all. No, start. Okay. All right. So the Philippians 4 focus formula real fast again, rejoice always, yeah. Right? Plus gentleness. Are you ready for the third part of the formula?
Yeah.
All right. So let's look back at the O negative cycle because we've got the outlook. We've got the operate. Now we got to talk about the
outcomes.
Y'all are with me today. I love it. Pastor David, if only you could be this engaging. Just kidding, before y'all stone me. All right, so verse six has our next part, okay? Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. The part of the Philippians 4 formula is not, do not be anxious. That is a negative idea attached to a negative emotion that's not gonna get us what we want in the Philippians 4 focus formula. All right? Instead, we're going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about petition with thanksgiving. That's how we present our request to God. Now, in a few weeks in the I Want to Quit series, we are going to have a whole conversation about anxiety. We're going to talk about the fact that anxiety is just misfocused imagination. That's just a teaser, okay? But in this, we want to begin to think, how do I build a positive cycle? How do I break the negative cycle? Well, first, I rejoice always. Second, I do prayer and petition, or I do gentleness, known to all. The Lord is near. Woo-hoo, that means God is watching. Prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Here's why that doesn't make me anxious. Do not be anxious about anything in verse 6, is because then when I begin to build the right level of rejoicing and gentleness slash moderation in my life, and I begin to present everything to God with prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, I trust Him for the outcome.
Amen.
Whoa. Amen. How many of us would be way less anxious if we trusted God through the process for the outcome?
Amen.
Right? I remember Pastor John Maxwell. He is a pastor, by the way. I remember John Maxwell saying, we got to get rid of the idea that we're going through something, and we got to start thinking that we are going to something. One is a tunnel. The other is a bridge. So church, we ought to start thinking we are going to something, and that is a trusted outcome of the one who leads us through the wilderness. Amen. Who sanctifies us and transforms us so that we can transform the world around us. Yes. Am I coming too hot? Are we good? So when you do this whole formula and you end it with thanksgiving, God, thank you for the outcome that is already established because my future is being shaped by my present attitude and my present actions, we can then have the peace of God, which transcends the circumstance. It transcends our understanding. Why am I at peace in this place? It makes no sense because I'm on a bridge. It's going to guard my heart and it's going to guide my mind in Christ Jesus. So we have to ask ourselves, am I aiming at the wrong thing? Okay? So this is where we're going to talk about outcomes for just a couple more minutes. I know we're a little close on time. Bear with me, all right? So the outcome is determined by our aim. Now, we've been talking a lot in this series, like, we want to hit the target, we want to hit the target, we want to hit the target. There is something I would like to propose to you, which is when we're like, well, I don't want to hit negativity, and I don't want to hit anger. I need to hit this bullseye of righteousness. That is not the way grace works. I would like to have you consider the idea that what we are shooting for is a totally separate target. Okay? Grace is not the, oh, you know, oh, I got to get right in the middle because then I'm getting it right. God is like, quit shooting at the old stuff and trying to miss the wider problems. You know, when he said to Adam and Eve, hey, there's this whole garden. You are free to eat of all of this goodness. Just don't do that one tree. And they got really close up to it. And they were like, fling, fling, fling. Don't hit the tree. Don't hit the tree. Quick, get away from the tree. Right? Flee from unrighteousness. Just simply adjust your aim and be like, all right, don't hit that tree. I can hit any of the other trees. I can hit, and here's where we come. I can hit whatever's true. I can hit whatever's noble. This is the outcome of our aim in the Philippians 4 focus formula. I can hit whatever's right. Oh my gosh, I can hit whatever's pure. I can hit whatever's lovely. I can hit anything that's admirable. Don't shoot at that tree. Got it. Move my hips. Turn my focus. We're so busy going, don't hit the thing, don't hit the thing, don't hit the thing. That is not righteousness. Righteousness is aiming at a totally different target. Righteousness is living up to the glorious expanse of the kingdom of God, which is so much bigger than the negative world in which we live. Righteousness is not nearly as difficult as we have made it. Sure, sometimes I hit a little low on the tree of things that are lovely. Sometimes I hit the roots, the ground in front of it. That's when I say, grace, help me adjust my aim. When I want to think about the things that are admirable, when I want to be noble. Dallas did a thing, not so noble. Said the thing to his kids, did the thing. Grace, adjust my aim. Kids, watch me. Daddy's gonna adjust his aim. We gotta break the cycle, and we gotta get out of this old target, and we gotta go, now I aim at righteousness. Dr. Jordan Peterson says, aim at the highest good you can conceive of, and your trajectory will be heavenward. So we aim at the positive, whatever's true, whatever's this. And then here's the great thing, the outcome of that aim, we get to learn it, right? Verse 9 here, whatever you have learned, received from me, heard from me, or seen in me, here's the biggest key, everybody, put it into practice. Everybody say that with me, put it into practice. Practice your aim at the lovely. Practice your aim at the true. Practice your aim at the noble. Practice your thing at whatever is praiseworthy or excellent. So that when you step into an environment that doesn't feel excellent, you are the light that brings light. You are the righteousness that brings the peace of God that transcends the situation. There's a reason when we put on our spiritual armor, we step into the gospel of peace so that every step we take into every environment is the gospel of peace. I could go for an hour more. I don't have the time. So here's what we got to do, everybody. First, we have to acknowledge. Okay? We have to acknowledge and we have to repent for our negativity. Repentance is easy. It's just saying, I was wrong. I repent to my wife and my kids a couple times a week, if not more. Daddy was wrong. Honey, Dallas was wrong. So we have to repent for our outlook, i.e. our attitudes. We have to repent for the way that we operate by aiming at the wrong target, right? Our actions. I keep shooting at the thing, and sometimes I dead bullseye that sin, right? Aim differently. And then we have to repent for the current outcomes, i.e. where we are aiming our attention. Amen. And we have to begin to adjust our sights to move in this direction over here. Adjust our aim, and then we put into practice whatever is true. We create a habit of honesty. Whatever is noble, we create the highest good habit. Whatever's right, whatever's pure, I won't set my eyes on the thing. I won't put my mouth to the place of negativity. When someone comes at me with negativity, I'm going to meet them with righteousness. Man, I'm dealing with this, brother. Can we pray? How about this? You're in the grocery store. How you doing today? Oh, I only got 2 hours left on my shift. It's been a hard day. Do you need prayer? Whatever's pure, whatever's lovely. God, there's so much ugly in the world. What if we adjusted our aim, adjusted our focus, adjusted our attention? What would the possible outcome be? Whatever's admirable, whatever's excellent, when I put my hands to do, I'm going to do it with all my might. I'm powered, am powered by grace. If anything, the whole garden, besides the one tree, is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. Put into practice such things. Church, when we talk about the idea, I want to quit negativity, I want to quit any of the things we're talking about, here's the challenge. I want to quit, just start. You want to quit it? Then start doing the opposite. Repent for the cycle, the O negative cycle. God, my outlook has been wrong. The way I operate in my world, with my key relationships, with my family, with my work, it's been wrong. Grace, help me to shoot the new target. And then I trust you for the outcomes, Lord. Whew. Church, if we want to quit, we want to quit. Turn your focus and just start. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, Father of grace, we thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit, for the sanctifying work of the saints who are citizens of another kingdom. Lord, we ask that you would begin to shift and make us aware. Let us acknowledge our outlook. Let us acknowledge the way that we operate in the various areas of our lives. Let us adjust our aim and then trust you for the outcome. Help us break the cycle of negativity in our key relationships and in the world around us. Lord, we thank you for the grace to operate in a focused formula that is aimed at all that is good, true, noble, and pure. I pray for grace on every person hearing this word today, that we would not leave this place the same, but that we would be impacted by your word to go out and impact the world. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. So if you'll take 2 more minutes with me, if you are here today and everything was resonating in you and you're like, but I don't actually know who this Jesus is. I don't know who this Christ is, and I want to know more. I want to give you the opportunity to respond to the word of God for the salvation of Jesus in your life. So I'm just going to ask everybody real quickly, let's create an environment of solitude. Just everybody close your eyes, bow your heads. And if you're here today, and either you don't know Jesus yet, or you feel as though you've fallen away from Christ, and you're like, I need to re-up this thing, I need to re-aim my target. I'd like you to just put your hand in the air, just so we can see that you're here. Yes, I see those hands. See those hands? The grace of God is here for you today to shift your focus and to get a new outcome. So what we do is we like to declare with our mouths that we are repenting for our former ways and we're declaring Jesus as Lord. So I'm going to ask everybody in the room to pray this with me. Say, dear Jesus, I know I've aimed at the wrong targets. I know I have failed. And God, to use the biblical word, I know I have sinned. Forgive me. I repent. I turn to you, Jesus. I acknowledge you as my Savior, and I declare that you are Lord. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, Amen. Amen. Go ahead and put your hands together for those who said that prayer for the first or maybe the second or third time. We're so grateful for the rest of you. If you said that prayer for the first time, you're wondering, what do I do next? We have a booth back here to your left called Next Steps. There'll be a couple of our team members there. Please go talk with them. And again, if you are a guest, we're so grateful that you are here with us today. We have our Connecting Center. Please go and connect with us there. Guys, who is ready? And gals, who is ready to start breaking the cycle of negativity? Amen. Amen? Awesome. So I bless you in the name of Jesus. I ask that your awareness would be high by the grace of the Spirit of God, that this week you would be aware of the situations where negativity wants to pull you down, and you will have the knowledge of how to break that cycle. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of the Lord. We will see you next week here at church. God bless. Have a great day.